Recently, in the middle of the night, I had thoughts about structures and information, and I thought about misinformation, and I thought about healing. So that's what I want to talk about today, structures and information. As I was laying there, now wide awake, I was thought of structures as arrangements of information. And I thought, you know, if these structures are in alignment with divine intention, and I recently went to some training in Sarasota, Florida, based upon the work of a Russian clairvoyant named Grigory Grabovoy, and a lot of the stuff that he talks about is aligning with the norm. That is what is normal. And he thinks of it in terms of the spiritual as well. But for me, I'm thinking of the norm, not only as spiritual, but more precisely defined as the truth of existence. That is talked about in letter one and other letters of Christ Returns reveal startling truth. You know, structures that would be in alignment with growing, healthy, nourished, healing, protected, and so on kind of experiences. I thought, that would be structures in alignment with information. I thought, what are structures? I thought, the body is a structure. The organs within the body are structures. Beliefs are structures. Thoughts are structures. Words are structured. Sentences are structured. Feelings are structures. Emotional states, shame, apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride, courageousness, acceptance, and peace, those are structures. Our identities are structures. The desk that we sit at is a structure. The to-do list that we've got written in front of us is a structure. We could consider our health as a structure. Our financial situation is a structure. Anger is a structure, and so is jealousy. We could say that all of these structures, and each one of them in varying degrees, is composed of information and or misinformation. I had the thought that if divine consciousness provides the truth of existence as the necessary ingredients to a wonderful, happy, healthy, prosperous life, then perhaps it is just information about one or more of these items in the truth of existence that needs correction. Could we look at our lives, the structure of our lives? Our lives would be considered a structure from a high level. And if we can identify there is some misinformation that shows up in significant amounts in one area of our lives or another, then we would go, what I need to do is either heal or correct that misinformation, or I need to add valid, truthful, empowering information. If the energy of wrongdoing, which I consider a structure, penetrates us, which I consider a structure, it's probably because our not doing, our doing could be seen as a structure. Something, that thing, that something is a structure. What we know we should do for another, and another person or animal or situation is, of course, a structure. So now all of a sudden we're seeing structures exchanging energy in one form or another with other structures. And this is really what we could consider the experience of being alive. I just witnessed an interesting phenomenon. Our dog, Nikki Nouveau, she's an 11-pound toy poodle. She shares in our cottage cheese that Marianne and I have for breakfast each morning. We have these little containers of cottage cheese. We have one each. And so Nikki typically will be fed some cottage cheese off of a spoon, much like somebody else might do with a small child. So today, when I was watching, and this is going back several days, I watched Nikki refuse the first couple of offerings of cottage cheese from Marianne. Kind of turned her nose up at it. That's not that usual, actually. But after those two refusals, Marianne said to Nikki, "Well, I'm not going to wait for you. I'm going to eat." Now, Nikki immediately accepted the third offer of cottage cheese on the spoon and ate it like the first two refusals never actually occurred. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, what just happened? And so now the question becomes, you know, was it possible that Nikki didn't have all the information she needed in order to be the structure? And here's the structure, in quotes, Nikki eating cottage cheese, end quotes. That's the structure, right? That image, which is a structure, of course, that image of her eating cottage cheese, accepting the cottage cheese, did she need more information before she could align with that particular structure? I don't know, but I know that when Marianne gave her that additional energy, that additional information, she then started to eat the cottage cheese. Now, I doubt that Nikki understood the words, but I do believe she understands vibrations. She can tell from the tonal quality she needs to do things or not do things. So that's a common way to communicate with her. And she also reciprocates and communicates back to us with tones. After that, I wondered if maybe this is a real problem that we have as people all the time, is that we don't do what our conscious minds say we want to do because we don't have the information necessary to create the structure. If we can't see the structure, we're like, why would I go forward? I don't, you know, I'm seeing the unknown, or I'm not seeing anything known, and so I'm lacking this information. I can't see myself in a certain structural pattern. Very often I come across people, and I certainly have experienced this myself, and I'm thinking this is pretty common to human life, is that when we don't see a structure, but we have consciously decided we want to do something, and our lips tell us we want to do something, and maybe there's a need to be right or need to look good or something else, then we start using willpower in order to try to force ourselves to do something, even though vibrationally we don't align with it. So we use willpower, or sometimes self-flagellation. We try to beat ourselves till we do the action that our lips and maybe our conscious minds told us we wanted to do. And that action is a structure. But if it's incomplete, then there's uncertainty, and then, of course, we have a lot of resistance to it because of that uncertainty. It is a survival concept to resist moving quickly into areas of uncertainty. That's like, no. The unknown is not a cool thing for us. Walter Russell, I'm a fan of his, used to talk about going in meditation to the source of all knowledge. He would go to the source of all knowledge, and when he had complete information, and I'll say today, when he could see the completed structure, then out of meditation, in his normal day-to-day physical activities, that's when he would implement action to achieve the goal on that physical level. Somebody said to him, "Well, why don't you just start on this stuff? Why don't you implement your ideas? You have a lot of ideas. Why don't you just implement them instead of doing it the way you're doing?" He said, "Well, to implement action, to take action before the blueprint was clear and complete, just resulted in errors, mistakes, doing things over and over, wasted time, wasted money, wasted energy, and so on. Until he could see the completed structure, he wouldn't take action." So now the question becomes of us, do we have all the information that we need to be the structures that we say we want to be? Do we have the information and the knowledge that we need in order to be healthy, to be successful, to be happy, to be prosperous? Do we have the information that our structures, to be each one of those structures, would require? if we don't have the vibrational ingredients, the information energy, to be a successful structure, a healthy structure, a happy structure, a wealthy structure, guess what is likely? We won't be. So if everything is a structure of information, the healthy you is a structure of information. And you go, there is no healthy me. It's like, there is, but it has insufficient information so far. And you go, okay, that's cool. So you can imagine that this information that we need to be the healthy us, the wealthy us, the happy us, the successful us, however we want to be structurally, all those different structures, you would go, those things are shaped by consciousness. That's the raw ingredient of everything. Everything is made out of that. Like if you were a baker, you would go, I make stuff out of flour and sugar and milk and cream and butter. It's like, yeah. But structures are made out of consciousness. We could call it divine consciousness, Christ consciousness, human consciousness, and perhaps other forms of consciousness. Let me draw an example using a dog for a picture. We could say that a dog doing tricks is structured into a dog by divine consciousness. We could say that the tricks that were taught to the dog were structured by human consciousness, and the way that that particular dog does those tricks is structured by the dog's consciousness. We could say that a dog, a pit bull, that was trained by a drug-dealing human being into an attack dog would be the same. It was a pit bull through structuring of divine consciousness. The tricks it was taught by the human being, in this case the drug dealer, they're still tricks, but they are not fun and they are not cute. They're deadly. The pit bull, which is normally a wonderful family dog, protective, loving, would display the structure of its consciousness, except because it's been distorted by the human consciousness, now it reacts differently. Anything other than loving and protective. The distortion that happens to the structure of consciousness, including the temperament of that pit bull, was due to a human being not providing the truth of existence to the dog. Right? If that dog had gotten what it needed for growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, in some rhythmic fashion, you would go, we know that its behavior would be a function of what it was fed as inputs. Instead of allowing divine consciousness to work through the man for the mutual benefit of himself and the dog, he chose to provide misinformation to the dog. That dog's consciousness was distorted by misinformation. I think, in all likelihood, the human being that provided that misinformation to the dog was probably the recipient of similar misinformation earlier in that person's life. So here we have an example of one distorted structure distorting another structure. Doesn't that happen? Isn't that the way it goes? One bad apple spoils the barrel. Haven't we heard that cliche since we were little children? Be careful who you hang around with. The other night, I saw a television program that mentioned the Women's Christian Temperance Union movement and its efforts to ban alcoholic beverages in Maine and other parts of the United States. This was part of the Who Do You Think You Are? A program about genealogy and sponsored by Ancestry.com on a Friday night. And this particular star celebrity that was being featured, Helen Hunt, had grandparents or great-grandparents who were in that movement. And the reason for the Women's Christian Temperance Union was alcohol was distorting the mental, emotional, physical structures of so many men. Back in those days, that there was unbelievable availability of cheap drink, cheap alcoholic drinks. And the trouble was, when men started to drink, they started to become distorted in their consciousness. Their misinformation started to rise to the surface and they'd act upon it. There was terrible levels of violence against women and the children, sexual abuse, financial hardship, not working, no productivity, just really bad news. So the structures of the family, individual people in the family, and society were being destroyed by that. It's not hard to imagine that alcohol destroys a person's ability to process information. Alcohol is a poison. It's a monkey wrench to the information processing in the structure of the mind. The human mind is a structure. So if alcohol interfered with men's ability to access the structure of the truth of existence, not that it was popularized back then, they were... millions and millions of men were made weak and distorted by alcohol. And those people that were selling it made a very few of them really, really rich financially. It's easy to look at material objects, physical objects, and believe that we're looking at structures, you know, computer screen, a printer, a microphone, a piece of paper, a clock, a wall, cabinets. Yeah. I got that there. Everybody could, without hesitancy, go, yep, those are structures. How about the human body? Yep. I can agree that that's a physical structure. Kind of like a building. A building is a physical structure. The body is a physical structure. We all would agree with that. It's not that easy to grasp the idea that thoughts have a structure, even though some of us consciously use and appreciate phrases like thought forms, consciousness forms. What is that? That's just a description of thought energy as structures. It makes sense that structures are composed of other structures, right? You look at a building, you go, that's a structure, yeah, but aren't there bricks, which are structures that go into making that building? You go, yep. So brick buildings are structures composed of other structures called bricks. That doesn't surprise us at all. And it doesn't surprise us if we consider for a minute that our body is composed of structures we call cells. Oh, yeah. We could think of it on a grosser level, you know, higher level. Oh, bones, tissue, muscle. Blood, that sort of thing. Yeah, but if you drill down, you're going to go, yep, cells, red blood cells, white blood cells, muscle cells, bone cells, yep. Got it. So if we think of the cells in our bodies like bricks in a building, we go, okay. And we certainly can appreciate, if we go back in history a little teeny bit, even though it's a very long line this goes back, that a structure of a brick is due to other structures that were added to it, right? Sand, mud, clay, straw, rocks, shaped by a mold made out of wood probably in the earliest days. Men making bricks is a very, very old activity. But if we look at this building of structures, we go, you know, at some point as we go deeper and deeper, looking at the structure out of which a structure is built, and then looking again and again and again, at some finer and finer point, we're going to arrive at a conclusion that says, you know, there's got to be one final structure, or actually the very first structure, out of which all other structures come. What would that be? What would that, if we're going to the first structure, what would it be? That first structure that gives rise to all other structures, I think it's been labeled a lot of different ways. God, universal consciousness, spirit, the unseen, divine mind, zero point, infinite intelligence, supreme being, energy, source, substance, and a whole lot more. We already know that human beings can access the unseen, regardless of how we label the unseen. Most of us realize that thoughts can be outside of our brains and outside of our minds. Right? Isn't inspiration the word we use when it's like, I got an inspiration, I received inspiration, I'm inspired? Isn't that an indication? Doesn't it connote that that came from somewhere other than within the container of my skull or from my little human consciousness? I think so. We consider inspiration to be a high vibration thought that arrives into the mind of a receptive seeker. You know, it doesn't really arrive at somebody whose head is like a rock, whose mind is closed. But boom, it's like, yeah. We drew that from somewhere. Where? Consciousness? Divine consciousness? Somewhere. We're familiar with this idea. You know, you read about it periodically. About scientists seems to be the thing that it shows up, where thoughts spread across the minds of people like wildfire. We also hear of scientists who are working on opposite sides of the globe, say in the U.S. and Japan. They're working independently. They don't know one another. They don't know that the other guy is working on the same scientific concept. And they discover or come to the same conclusions, and they are jointly awarded a Nobel Prize, for instance. It's like, well, how is that possible that somebody in Japan and somebody in the United States independently are playing with the same concept? I think it's because they tuned in, they received, they plucked that same idea out of the ocean of ideas that some of us would consider consciousness. Christ, in the book Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, talks about the idea that diseases are consciousness forms created by the minds of human beings and then added to by more human thinking and then spread through fear. Just think of that. If we create viruses like AIDS and others through our consciousness, maybe instead of shaping information energy into viruses and weapons of mass destructions and other things, maybe we could use them to create inventions for the betterment of mankind. Maybe works of art. How about structures that meet the higher needs of people? And who knows what other cool things we could create. Can we create structures that grow into healthy structures? Can we add information that will help a currently unhealthy, misinformed structure become healthy? Can we shape energy into consciousness forms that grow and take on energy and attract more energy and then physically show up as healthy tissues and organs? I think the answer is, yeah, we can. I spent the last weekend in training devoted to trying to understand the work of the Russian Grigory Grabovoi, who has been successful at helping people regrow body parts and tissues that have been removed surgically. So people are able to activate some inherent intelligence, some information pattern, blueprint in their bodies and grow back a uterus that was removed in a hysterectomy, teeth that were pulled, gallbladders that were surgically removed, and so on. You go, how is that possible? What's possible is to activate the information and give up the human, ego-driven consciousness that says to operate on misinformation. We can do that. we can create the structure by adding the information that will support that structure that we want to be physically manifesting as our life. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know this is possible. We believe you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.